everybody. It is November the 10th, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay, and you're listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. We are broadcasting with pride worldwide on QNation.fm, hanging out over on ClickClickExposed.com. You can also hear us on Free Thought Radio, as well as Grateful Dread Public Radio. All good things. Welcome back to the show. Hey, Tanya.
Hi, Ken.
Show number two for you.
I'm so excited.
And you're well.
I'm so well. Yay. I wasn't well the last time you asked me. And I was like, maybe I'm always going to be ill on Wednesdays.
I do have that effect. This Show Is So Gay has that effect on people. That is. How are you?
I'm excellent. I'm a little chilly, but it's okay.
This station is both gay and cold.
That's okay. Warm in our hearts.
Isn't it, though?
It is.
It's a warm rainbow. How's school?
School is good.
What are we doing to address bullying?
What did we do? We had a teacher workshop. I'm part of the anti-bullying task force. And so we had an all-faculty workshop that I was a part of leading. And we talked about intervention strategies when you see kids bullying each other in the hallways and stuff like
that.
Yeah, we're really serious about it, taking it seriously.
This is what you focus on the teachers. If you we have to talk to the students. But if the teachers, who are the constant, are not trained.
Right, exactly. And the students really look to the adults to help.
Yes.
And so they need to know how to help.
Yeah. You're doing good things.
Thank you. We're trying.
I've been speaking all over the place on LGBT issues.
Yeah.
It's been a little nutty these past couple days.
Do you want to just talk about straight things instead?
I don't. Okay. Where my frustration is, because I started writing up a little piece for my professional organization's newsletter just about how I'm noticing something different about all my presentations lately, because I've been doing these same presentations for years and years, and I'm trying, like, what's different? It's not the stats and stuff. That's all the same. Mm-hmm. My suggestions, those are the same. What's different? Oh, yeah, I'm annoyed. And that's what I realized, is that I'm really impatient and annoyed, and I'm tired of talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so unbelievably tired of doing LGBT 101.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of saying this is what the T stands for,
mm-hmm.
and the B is not a phase or a pit stop on the truck route to being gay. Like, I'm just kind of tired of doing LGBT 101, and what would it mean if we didn't have to do all that? And I just held everyone to the standard of, I'm just going to expect that you know this. But then I start and I find that they don't know it.
It saddens me that the statistics, I feel like, don't change a whole lot.
Right.
I worked for GLSEN over a decade ago. And I feel like when I still look at the statistics, it's the same ones I was saying then to folks.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Yeah.
Is it because we're only doing 101 and that's just...
I'm never going to get hired again to do a presentation because I really have been so impatient. I tell you, this is really funny. I was at a student activities conference speaking on Saturday, and it was great. They hired me, and it was a nice chunk of change. And it was, it's going to be 30, 40 students in the audience, and it was about 120,
Whoa.
130 students there. And this is one of those conferences where they go and they do a couple educational sessions, but it's all about hearing all the bands and seeing the jugglers. And then you book people on the spot for your college campuses, for colleges that actually have a budget, not like mine. So I'm sitting there saying, and there are speakers that you can get. And I started giving my presentation saying, you know, you have to create the change from within. You know what? Don't hire speakers. Don't get all these different acts about diversity. Do it yourself at a student activities conference where their whole livelihood is hiring all these people.
Right.
I'm never going to get invited back to this at all. Because I was like, they were going right into the session where they were going to be not auditioning, but checking out all the showcases of the speakers. And I'm sitting there telling them, all right, so you're going into this. Be thinking, we're not going to get them. We're going to do it ourselves. And so I said, not like there are any agents in the audience listening to me right now. And these two women raised their hand. They said, yeah, we represent Ant. I said, oh, I had him on my radio show. It was great. So it was never getting hired again.
You just got crossed off that list.
So that's that. So that's all my speaking and going all over the place. Fun stories to talk with you about.
I'm so excited. Please tell me the stories. I've been in like a news vacuum. Like I haven't heard... I don't know. I was teaching an extra class this week, so I've been preparing for that. And so I have no idea what's going on. So this will be great. It's all news and stories to me.
Good. Because these, I don't have a lot of news. I have kind of like, this was like Human Interest Gay Week. Just kind of fun stories. So one of them, although fun, relative, one of them just came out today, was a survey that said that travel companies need to do more to be gay friendly. Out Now Consulting compiled a survey of 8,000 LGBT people in the UK and 30,000 people globally and says there's often a gulf between the claims made by travel companies and the experience gay travelers have. And so Ian Johnson, the chief executive of Out Now Consulting, said, quote, "These days, suddenly everyone wants to be gay friendly. And frankly, that has made today's LGBT consumers extremely wary of the bona fides of the welcome being extended. The number one factor that LGBT travelers hope for when they travel away from home is an equal and genuine welcome, which means that travel providers need to improve their communications and behaviors. The industry needs to lift its game on the staff training front if it is going to deliver on the promises being made to LGBT travelers," end quote. Do you ever do gay travel?
No. Well, I mean, I guess always. I'm always gay when I'm traveling, but I've never been, you know, on a cruise, like a specific,
never?
But I used to live and work in P-Town, so that's kind of,
I've never been.
Really?
I heard they're gay.
They're, it's so very gay
Were
there.
You gonna say they're wicked gay?
I was gonna say you're they're wicked so gay. I'm so, I am, I I'm so Massachusetts. Topic. I stopped you coming out.
I saw it in your
I know.
Eyes. She didn't say it, but her eyes said wicked.
Did.
So P-Town, very gay.
P-Town, very gay in the summer.
Yeah.
And, well, up until, so from May to October, then all of a sudden it's not so gay anymore. Then
but a
lesbian just,
cruise does not appeal to you?
It does not. Well, now I think a cruise isn't appealing to anyone. That's like the only piece of news that I know because people are talking about that on the radio.
They're on their way back.
Which
they're
is great. And
they're,
it sounds,
they're on
and they're
their
talking
way back.
About camaraderie and they're singing folk songs.
Oh, yeah. And so, the dolphins are swimming. I just think that. But it's, yes.
Maybe they should have the dolphins help tug the boat.
It would be more effective. Yeah. But they're on their way back. But no lesbian cruise,
no,
gay travel?
No. I don't, I mean, maybe I would. I don't know. It doesn't appeal to me. Maybe because I did live and work in P-Town and that was all I wanted.
I prefer it.
Do you? Okay, do. Please tell me why.
I prefer it. And we haven't really done it. I guess we haven't done it. I think maybe because I think we treat the San Francisco to L.A. AIDS ride as our gay vacation.
Yeah.
Really a lot of work. But I am swayed by every now and then when I think, if I had money, I totally do. I wouldn't do a cruise because I don't accept boats as a valid form of transportation.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, this week's story validates that. But the idea of and it's very much represented in this article that gay people, I don't even want to question that where we're going is going to be very accepting.
Mm-hmm.
We went, Andrew and I went to the Dominican Republic years and years ago. That didn't go very well. That wasn't
right.
Very good. Paris, yeah, that's pretty gay friendly.
Yep, totally.
Barcelona was great. But Dominican Republic wasn't. And you were just kind of second guessing. And also this past summer, Uganda, not so gay friendly.
Not so much.
It wasn't.
It's not known for.
It wasn't so gay friendly. But yeah, I'm totally swayed when I see, gay travel and go to this place and it's so gay friendly. And then to read these stories and hear about this, that the survey, that they're not as gay friendly as they're saying that they are.
I want all hotel front desk people to have a workshop, to take a workshop, so that when you show up and you're saying, yes, one bed is totally fine, that it's not this whole...
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing. It's just, okay, great.
So if you guys have some opinions on gay travel, do you prefer gay travel or would you like to be more mainstreamed? Send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com, where every email gets answered. All right, we're going to play a little music for everybody. This is a little Scissor Sisters. Enjoy.
Freedom's on the scene, and that don't last forever. evening, I thought, I'm gonna find that man that is the right shade of bottle tan, a man that smells like cocoa butter and cash. Take me any way you like it, in front of the fireplace, in front of your yacht, in front of my parents. I don't give a damn, baby, just take me.
Is the Scissor Sisters singing Any Which Way? A nice jaunty tune. Hey, big story out today. The Williams Institute, which is a research center on sexual orientation law and public policy at UCLA School of Law, has announced new findings from the U.S. National Longitudinal Lesbian Family Study, also known as the Knowles,
rolls right off the tongue.
Every night before I go to bed, I read the Knowles. It is the longest running study ever conducted on American lesbian families in its 24th year. So in an article published today in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, the 17-year-old daughters and sons of lesbian mothers were asked about sexual abuse, sexual orientation, and sexual behavior. The paper found, let's do it, it's like a Mad Libs. Mm-hmm. We'll have you fill in the number.
Okay.
The paper found that.
Oh, but this is really serious. I don't know if we should be, all right.
Okay. Adverb, happily.
I know. I'm ready.
The paper found what percent of adolescents reported ever having been physically or sexually abused by a parent or other caregiver.
And this is in their lesbian households?
Yes, this is in the Knowles.
I am going to say 3%.
The correct answer is 0.
Yes! That's what we like to hear.
I told you, this is a good story.
Okay.
We could do Mad Libs.
Well, 3 is so much lower than the percentage normally, so I thought I would.
So this is a really good thing. So, okay. According to the authors, quote, the absence of child abuse in lesbian mother families is particularly noteworthy because victimization of children is pervasive and its consequences can be devastating. To the extent that our findings are replicated by other researchers, these reports from adolescents with lesbian mothers have implications for healthcare professionals, policymakers, social services agencies, and child protection experts who seek family models in which violence does not occur. So that's pretty darn cool.
That is, and that study needs to happen with children who have gay men fathers, exactly. Because then that can really help combat that whole horrible stigma.
Well, that would change the acronym to NOGFS. Replacing one of the L's. So Barney Frank,
who,
as we know, your dad blames for everything.
Not the entire world, but the entire financial crisis. He did call me and say, are you voting for him? And I said, he's not in my district, Dad. And he said, he's a liar. And I said, Dad, you think all politicians are liars. And he said, you're right. Okay.
Look at that. So. Your dad's going to be so happy we did a segment on him. Shout out to Bruce. What's his name?
My dad.
Yeah.
Evars.
So close.
Yes, very close.
So close. So Barney Frank. Now here's Barney Frank's inspiration for the week. Gay U.S. because it has to say gay before mm-hmm. they say Barney Frank. Gay U.S. Representative Barney Frank, a Democrat from Massachusetts, who won re-election last week in one of the toughest challenges, said LGBT legislation would have no chance of passing in Congress under the Republican-controlled House next year. This was his quote. This is how inspiring Barney Frank is right now. Quote, next year, there's no chance of anything happening. There's zero chance. He added, quote, it will be a status quo. They don't have the votes to hurt us, but we don't have the votes to advance anything in the cause. I'd like to go back over Barney Frank's quote. Quote, next year, there's no chance of anything happening. There's zero chance. I just guess, I don't, what is that? Why? Why say that? Okay, so maybe you're lowering expectations, but you didn't lower them. You just said you don't have any.
Right. And so then you can't be disappointed if you have no expectations. But really, then you're not.
It's not inspiring.
It's not inspiring at all. And you can't have that whole, you know, be the change you want to see in the world.
Right.
If the change you want to see in the world is 0%.
Saying, like, don't bother. Does he not?
Yeah, don't bother.
Does he not read the Nullsfuss?
Apparently he doesn't.
Soon to be published Nullsfuss? It's just so.
I think my dad needs to call him and say, look, you've messed up the economy. And now you're messing up everyone's hopes for LGBT issues in the future, which my dad is getting on board with, I must say.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Go Bruce.
I'm going to tell him that's his new name. That's his new gay man name.
Ivars.
He's from Latvia.
Oh.
So he has a Latvian name.
Look at that.
Yes.
As so many people from Latvia do.
It's true. Like 100% just about.
Look at that. Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, they're also at 100% the null chance of anything passing, apparently, for LGBT people in Congress. So somehow reverse that stat.
You did a fine job.
All right. Well, we're going to play a little bit more music, and then we are going to welcome a guest. Enjoy.
No matter which way you go, no matter which way you stay, you're out of my mind.
Fairly sure they are walking with the ghost. All right, it's time to welcome a very special guest. Guest, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing. Let's introduce you. Is tonight's guest starring in zero movies this fall?
No.
No, he is not.
0% no.
Is tonight's guest starring in one movie this fall?
No.
No, no, he is not. Tonight's guest, Troy Ruptash, is starring in two.
Ding, 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 ding.
Count them, two movies this fall. From Marine Officer Joe in the drama A Marine Story, to blood-sucking vampire FBI Agent Norris in the action thriller 30 Days of Night, Dark Days. This is one busy acting season for Troy. He's previously been on Supernatural, Prison Break, Mad Men, Without a Trace, NYPD Blue, JAG, Boston Public, and two of my favorite shows of all time, The West Wing and ER. And now, a guest starring role on our radio waves, Troy Ruptash. Welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you very much.
How the heck are you?
How the heck am I? I'm really good. I'm really good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're well.
We're excellent.
Now, I have to tell you, I did some research because, you know, I know every single episode of The West Wing, and I had to know, well, who was Troy? And so right before this show, I watched you be a NASA speechwriter who really sucked at his job.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Yeah, and I got my butt kicked by Rob Lowe.
You did. Well, let's be clear, Troy. You also got your butt kicked by Martin Sheen.
I did. Yeah, I was not a very good speechwriter.
No, you were not. No, you were not. How pretty is Rob Lowe in real life?
Mm.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Nice.
Pretty eyes. Beautiful. Yeah.
All right.
Very nice.
You would think, well, that's why you weren't able to write your speeches better, because Rob Lowe was so
pretty. Distracted.
I know. I wanted to defer to him, definitely.
Yeah. See, look how we just wrote a whole backstory for the West Wing. West Wing fan fiction originating here on This Show Is So Gay. Well, Troy, it's such a treat to have you on the show.
Well, thanks.
So I've been reading all these interviews that you've been doing with all these movies coming out, which is so fantastic. And so this one interview that just came out had some just fantastic quotes that I wanted to bounce off you. In one of them, you said, quote, "It doesn't help that I entered the film and television industry where, according to some people, being out will be the death of your career."
Uh-huh.
Are we still there, Troy? Is that where we are?
Can you believe it?
No.
You know, I think in some ways we really, well, some people, based on their perception, we are still there. I you know, that was actually, you know, I had past agents who said that to me, and people who were, you know, so-called advisors to me, and I just think it's sad, and I think, although on an up note, I think it's changing, but the only way it's going to change, I feel, is if people come out. And that's why it's so important for me to be out with all the press that I'm doing. And I do not think it's going to be the death of my career. But beyond that, there's a bigger picture. There's something more important going on that I just don't want to be any part of perpetuating,
right.
You know, homophobia in our culture. And so, you know, I hope that more and more people will come out, because I think that's the only way it's going to change.
Well, so can we talk about that a little? Because we don't out people on the show. That's not what our show's all about. But have you talked with actors who are in the closet about their decision not to come out? Like, have you had that conversation with some of your peers?
Yeah. And actually, even, you know, and it was pretty upsetting to me. A couple of weeks ago, I came across an article online, and of course I'm not going to say any names or anything. Mm-hmm. This person's a friend of mine. He's actually a director in the industry, a really successful director, gay, openly gay. But he was on a panel speaking about how he feels he tells gay actors not to come out.
Huh.
And I thought, that really kind of blew my mind. I thought, wait a minute, this is a gay director telling gay actors not to come out, that he feels that you know, audiences just aren't able to get past it. And I just don't buy that.
Right.
I think people keep repeating that. People keep mm-hmm. saying that. And I think it's important to question that. Like, why do people keep saying that? Is that really true? Do
right.
audiences really have a hard time getting past someone's sexuality if they know someone is gay? You know, I don't think that's the case. I think it's time to challenge that way of thinking. And, yeah. So, but it is upsetting to me that, you know, people still have that view and that way of thinking.
And you have to question at this point, is it us that's perpetuating this, or is it Hollywood that's perpetuating mm-hmm. this? Because I feel like we're not even being given a chance. in it, as the movie going public to
exactly
yeah
mm-hmm.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah,
why, you know, give them the chance, let's see if the audience, you know, the audiences will go with it. I mean, I said this once before, we don't need Angelina Jolie to actually be a Russian spy to believe her and her performance, or, you know, Meryl Streep to be a concentration camp survivor, for us to really go with that performance and the believability of that story. So why is it different when it comes to sexual orientation?
Right.
I think, you know, it's, I don't think it is. And I think it's time to challenge that.
Well, speaking of, and you had this quote also in that article, which dovetails nicely. You said, quote, "I don't expect Jake Gyllenhaal to be gay in real life, to do an amazing job and be totally believable as a gay man in Brokeback Mountain. So I see no reason why people can't buy an out actor playing a character who is straight," which I, you know, obviously we totally agree with. Mm-hmm. But my question is, because it doesn't seem like you're being asked this very much, what about when you see straight actors playing gay, is there a part of you that says, well, gosh, you know, it's so rough and tumble still in Hollywood for gay actors to get parts when the straight actors are playing gay? Do you have an emotional response to that? Are you like, hey, that's my part, I'm one of the out people, I want to be gay?
I don't really, because I think there's other factors at play there. Like, say, for instance, with Brokeback Mountain, it made sense, and this is sort of part of the Hollywood machine, that you have to have two name actors in there because they want to pull in the audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger were cast makes sense to me. Now, if there were some high-profile out actors, it would be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, and if they were right for the roles, then, yeah, they, you know, then that would be a different issue. So there are a lot of things at play there, but I don't really feel that way. I feel like, you know, when I saw that movie, I thought they both gave incredible performances, and a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have gone to that movie, who did go to it based on wanting to see Jake Gyllenhaal or Heath Ledger, you know, that's part of how Hollywood works.
Yeah.
And that could be frustrating, too, you know, the whole name game thing, because you know, it limits what one has access to in terms of jobs or roles based on, you know, what your profile is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And do you think people think was it safer for audience members to watch knowing that it was two straight men up there, to watch that as a performance and accept it, versus if they saw gay actors who they knew were gay, maybe it would be that much more uncomfortable?
That's an interesting point. I mean, you know, that may be the case.
Yeah.
But again, it's so tough, because until we actually have these things presented in a way where we get to find that out, we won't really know for sure.
Exactly.
Sort of conjecture and, you know. So I don't know.
Well, it's not like you're not finding work, Troy.
I know. Your list was so long.
It was. That's one heck of an IMDb page you got there, sir.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I actually feel, because I thought about this a lot, because I'm definitely doing a lot of press in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's definitely the most out I am being. And, you know, and so there, honestly, there are times when I think, oh, my God, is this going to affect my career somehow? And but ultimately, I feel like as I become more authentic, you know, especially that's something that's really important to me, not only as a person, but as an actor and an artist, is authenticity. So it just doesn't make sense to me to be in the closet in any way. And ultimately, I think as I become more authentic, both in my work and in the public eye, I feel like the path that is meant to be my path will unfold, and, you know, maybe there will be certain roles that I won't get because of it. I don't know. But ultimately, in the long run, it's where I'm meant to be, and I feel really great about it.
Nice. Now, how about this Marine story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of prep work did you have to do? Did you have to do some physical prep work? Did you have to do some research?
You know, I felt like, in a way, the research part of it was already done because I just felt like I didn't have to do much at all because there's such an emotional trigger for me for this issue. You know, I think just being a gay man and growing up, I grew up in a very small town, a conservative town where, you know, I was closeted for a long time. And so, you know, it's very emotionally full for me. And working with Drea Weber, who plays Alex, she's actually a good friend of mine. We've worked together before. And Ned Farr, the filmmaker, is a good friend as well. And, you know, it's so beautifully written that I felt like I just had to, in a way, I just had to show up and be with my truth and sort of feed that into Joe's truth. And, you know, because, like I say, I follow the issue closely, and so I felt like the research was already done for me. And, yeah, and it's such an important movie, and I'm glad. I'm so glad it's getting a theatrical release.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I think it's a film that really has the potential to have an impact and change people's minds, or even if it doesn't do that, just, you know, it addresses the issue through this one woman's personal story, and so you can't help but connect with her on an emotional level, and really, I think it really drives home the point of what this policy has done and is doing to so many service members. And you can't sort of distance yourself from it anymore, I feel, when you watch the movie. So I'm really, really proud to be a part of it. And, you know, I think it's a great film.
And have there been any service members that have seen the movie that have been able to provide feedback?
Yeah, actually, I think it was when we were at Frameline in San Francisco. There were some service members there in the audience, and it's, you know, it's really powerful to sit through the film and then do the Q&As afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
People so grateful that this story is being told, and so, yeah, that's, and the feedback has been amazing.
You know? Oh, that's great.
I know. Excellent. Ned and Drea both, when they were putting the film together, did a lot of research and, you know, compiled a lot of different people's stories. And so the feedback and the response has been really positive.
Nice. Now, and then the big question is, what kind of research and method acting did you do to be FBI Agent Norris?
Did you interview some vampires?
Yes. Who did you get to talk to for this one?
Well, the cool thing about working on Agent Norris, the director, Ben Kitai, and I, even before I got, we shot it in Vancouver, and I was in L.A., and even before I got to Vancouver, we started this great dialogue on the phone and by emails about the sort of the driving thing for Agent Norris is that he's got this mysterious illness. You never really find out what it is, but it really drives the arc of his story. And so it was great to talk to Ben and sort of sculpt his illness, because as the illness progresses, it really changes the stakes for him. Mm. And, you know, and I've never done a role like that before where someone is so impacted by a physical illness. And you know, and then working with Mia Kirshner was pretty cool. She's pretty amazing.
I would think so.
Oh, my God. I really have so much respect for her. I really do. You know, I had heard a lot of different things about her, and I find this is the case a lot of the times when I'm going into a job. You, especially when you're working with someone who, you know, has worked a lot and is in the public eye, people have their perceptions, and you know, it's always great for me to get to set and get to know the actual person. And, you know, she's really, really a wonderful actor and really a wonderful person and humanitarian, which I did not really know. And so that was great. And the whole experience was really, really cool. Plus, I got to do some pretty nasty, mean stuff.
What's the deal? Troy, what is the deal with the gays and the vampires? What is the deal with the gays and the vampires?
What do you mean? Like, why the gays like the vampires?
Why are we gays obsessed with the vampires?
I don't know. Do you think it's the for whatever reason, the permission for there to be some sort of sexual ambiguity? Mm. And, and a permission to have that homoeroticism there, and there's maybe that's it. I think, I don't know, it's hot, it's sexy, and or it can be, you know, I don't know. Agent Norris and these vampires, I don't know how, you know, they're pretty dark, so it's a different, it's not the Twilight type of vampire, but which is cool. I like it.
It's hot and sexy, and in your case, often shirtless.
Troy, I have a question that I've always wanted to ask someone who's worked on a scary movie. Is it scary? Do you get scared on the set when you're filming a scene?
You know, it depends. Sometimes it's interesting because, you know, if you're, especially when we're filming, there was one scene in particular that it involved quite a few people, and, you know, then you can really sort of go with it and suspend disbelief and really buy into it. But so often the case is that, you know, there's such a technical aspect of filmmaking that, you know, what people see is so different, obviously, than the process. So it's tough to be scary when you, or to be scared when there's like a, you know, a grip standing right behind you, stomping on their gum or whatever. Or, you know,
things aren't as surprising.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. And even, but yeah, it's, but when I saw the movie, I was scared.
Like, oh my God, I forgot that happened.
Right? Yeah, and it's kind of freaky, especially, you know, How I Made My Demise. It's pretty nasty. And when I first saw it, when I actually saw it when I went in to do ADR, looping on it. And the director was like, okay, get ready, because it's going to kind of freak you out to see this. And it was kind of freaky, I have to say.
You're like, I thought I had a shirt on in that scene. Wait a second. How did that happen?
Hey, I have a meat hook in my eye. What's going on?
Where's Rob Lowe? I thought he was in that scene. Well, Troy, can we talk to you about your musical selections for this evening?
Sure.
All right, well, this is the part of the show where our guests tell our listening audience what some of their musical selections say about them. This is the part where you get to psychoanalyze yourself a little bit, Troy, based on the songs you selected. You ready?
Well, for me, you know, music, I think what music does for me, it's such a, it really transports me. And the music I tend to respond to is music that can shift my state of being.
All right.
Instantly.
Let's see how this works. What does, we started off the show with the Scissor Sisters. What does the Scissor Sisters Any Which Way say about Troy? Yeah, it's the laugh. The laugh just said it all, Troy. But, you know, let's use our words.
Okay. Well, you know, I think what it is about that, there's sort of a cool retro feel to that song.
Absolutely.
That takes me back to my club days, and I won't say how far back those days go, but, you know, it's definitely a retro feel, and so there's something that hits this nostalgic chord in me, and it's uplifting, and it's fun, and it's authentic, and so, yeah, that's what I'll say.
All right, we'll play it safe on that one. What does Tegan and Sarah's Walking with a Ghost say about Troy? Ooh.
Oh my God, this is hard.
Well, good.
Are you just supporting your fellow Canadians?
Hey, all the time.
Yeah, nice.
I know, it's interesting. I think Canada puts out some amazing music.
It sure does.
Don't help him, Tom.
Oh, I'm
this
sorry.
Is
I
just... psychoanalysis.
Yeah, it taps into my Canadianism. you know, and I'm really drawn to female vocalists.
Nice.
I really, you know, and there's sort of a reverence there that I respond to, and I don't know, it's tough for me to speak about music. It's really, it really strikes a personal chord with me, certain songs, and sometimes it's difficult to articulate what that is.
Well, I think this last one, your last one, is going to be a little bit easier, because I know there's a story here. What does, this song is going to play you out in just a few, I Will Let You Carry Me by Craig Ritchie say about Troy?
That one's easy.
I knew it.
You said you know the backstory a little bit?
A little bit, but everybody else doesn't, so you should tell them.
Oh, wait, there are other people listening? Well, first of all, yeah, Craig Ritchie, it's one of the two songs he wrote for the movie Friends with Money, which he is the composer for that movie, and I'm in that movie. And Craig Ritchie is my partner of 21 years, actually.
Look at that.
21 years. And so, you know, it's a very, he's been an amazing sort of rock and anchor in my life. And, you know, I think when you listen to the lyrics, there's something about, well, just that, I will let you carry me, and the idea of letting go and giving over to someone, and how profound that is when, you know, you have someone in your life that you can give over in, to in that way. And
Troy, you're lovely. I want to keep talking with you.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Oh, well, look at Craig. How cute is Craig Ritchie?
Oh,
yeah,
so
right?
Good.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. Now, Troy, where can our listening audience go to learn more about all the cool things you're doing?
Well, you can always go to my IMDb page.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, if you want to Facebook friend me, I've got all my stuff on there. There's all kinds of press stuff and links to interesting things. And I'm on Twitter, but I have to admit, I'm not a good tweeter.
Yeah. You're not a good twit. That's okay.
But I'm trying to get better. Mona, my publicist, is like, you know, you got to get on Twitter. This is, I guess this is what the kids are doing these days. But, so yeah, Twitter, Facebook, and IMDb.
And she's a taskmaster, that publicist of yours.
She's fantastic.
Oh, that Mona. Now, I didn't do my research on ER because I didn't have time before the show. Tell me what you did on ER.
The episode, I believe, was called something like Bloodbath.
Okay.
And, I played this guy, Dave Fern, who is bringing in, I'm bringing in my pregnant wife, who there are complications, but during the episode there's also a bus that has an accident, and there's something about they were going to some protest and they were carrying blood with them and it exploded all over. And, you know, that episode was so long ago, that's kind of all I remember about it, except that, oh, I remember this. I had lunch with George Clooney.
Well, hello.
Hello.
And was he nice?
He was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. What a charming, charming guy. Because as it turns out, the woman who played my wife in that episode was an ex of his.
Oh.
From a while ago. The three of us had lunch.
Look at that.
Which was pretty great. Which is very cool.
Do you remember who treated your wife in that episode?
Oh, yeah, Maria Bello.
Oh, her one season on ER.
Was it only one season?
Yeah, she didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Dr. Delamico, I'm a little obsessed. Troy, I'm at the point with ER where I think that I can do medical procedures because I've seen so many episodes. So, people, listeners, don't pass out in front of me. I'm going to try to put in
Danger.
A central line.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You just need a trachea tube.
Yes, I'll do that right now. Yeah. Troy, an absolute, absolute pleasure having
totally.
You on the show. We just, you have such an authenticity to you. It's such an, it's just such a pleasure because I know that in that industry, it's just so difficult for so many people. We read about it all the time to be who you are. And you, sir, are being who you are and just inspiring people left and right just by doing that.
You know, I really appreciate that. I really do. That really strikes a chord. So thank you.
All right. You're going to keep doing what you do?
Most definitely.
Okay. All the best to Craig. Troy, thank you so much
thank
for being
so
on
much,
the show.
Thank you so much, Troy.
Oh, thank you both very much. It was my pleasure.
I will not be proud. I will not be strong anymore. Leaning could be tricky as I've never leaned before. I will let you carry me. I will let you carry me. I will not be smart, I will not be wise.
I get to be cold. I won't always care. I might be gone when you want me there. Hey. I will not be proud. I will not be strong anymore. Leaning could be tricky as I've never leaned before. I will let you carry me. I will carry me. I will let you carry me. I will let you carry.
Stuff.
Good stuff.
So
what a
sweet
lovely guest he was.
He really was. I want him to come hang out here.
Yes.
And have lunch.
I love him for you. What a great guest. So some happy news. Let's do a little bit of happy news. In Utah, how many times have you been to Utah?
Twice.
I was kidding. I didn't think you had been at all. I was going to say me too when you were going to say zero. Twice. I have not.
Yep.
Two Utah cities have passed ordinances banning discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. On Tuesday, yesterday, city councils in Murray, a suburb of Salt Lake City, and Moab in the eastern part of the state passed the ordinances banning housing and employment discrimination targeting LGBT individuals. Good deal.
Yay, Utah.
Good job, Utah.
Slow now, moving, but moving.
Moving.
See, that's not 0% chance.
No, that's that. So much better than that. It's like they read the Nullsfuss. now, over in, I almost said my home state of New York again, which it's not my home state of New York, but I convinced myself. 18 people were arrested. You didn't hear about this, did you?
Well, no, because I was in the news vacuum. Except I only heard about the cruise ship.
Yes, 18 people were on a cruise ship that didn't go anywhere. Oh, you heard this.
And they were arrested.
In New York. 18 people were arrested yesterday, including New York State Senator Thomas Duane, protesting Governor David Patterson's veto of a bill that would have ensured that low-wage earners with HIV would spend no more than 30% of their salary on rent. It's a very specific bill. Protesters staged a die-in along Broadway near City Hall in Manhattan, blocking all traffic shortly after 200 people rallied outside of the landmark. Patterson blocked the bill at the urging of the New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Both agreed that the mandate would be a financial burden on the city, while activists say the bill would affect about 10,000 New Yorkers. What would you get arrested for?
Whoa, that's a really good question.
What would you protest that you are willing to be arrested for? I think they called them when we had, I had Zach Rosen on the show, who is the editor-in-chief of the newgay.net, and he was arrested in the Capitol building, and the whole story was about how they had to decide beforehand who were the riskables. So who was like in a position to be arrested and it be okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started thinking about, well, what are you willing to get arrested for?
Well, that's such an interesting question because
I should say, have you been arrested?
I have not been arrested, and I haven't been to too many protests, not because there aren't things that I am disagreeing with, but more, I remember hearing that instead of protesting where you're putting out no energy, like stop, 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 better to put out the energy that you want, the positive energy instead, and say, this is what I want to see. So it's more like rallies instead of protests.
In your protests, you don't get arrested.
I don't get arrested because, although I feel like instead of being arrested at a protest, I might be arrested for, like defending someone physically. I would step in if someone I knew and loved was getting hurt and probably hurt someone else.
So if there was a bullying epidemic at your school, would you stage a protest that you would be willing to get arrested for? You would lose your job, actually.
The whole thing seems to, like, if the bullying epidemic, I don't know what I'd be protesting. I hope I would step in and try to.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg, apparently. Exactly. I don't know if it's all the same story. Well, that's, yeah. So what?
Well, hey, what would you get arrested for?
I would get arrested. Okay, if the co-op ran out of peanut butter, I would get arrested. Yeah, definitely adoption bans. That's something that I would go pretty nuts. This whole impending fatherhood thing,
yeah,
as it turns out, totally changes your perspective.
Oh my gosh, what a surprise.
I don't, everyone's like, oh, it's going to change everything in your life. I'm like, what are you talking about? I just figured out my gym routine. You're going to be up at night. No, we requested a baby that sleeps through the night.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. And so gay adoption bans I would have been arrested if that. You heard about that that school board guy? This was before you went into your vacuum. Mm-hmm. The school board guy who wrote on his Facebook page all these horrible things about gay people. Like, if I was in some way involved in that, and he was in my district, I would be arrested for that. If he was like, I'm not giving up my position.
Got it.
I would risk that. So, let's see what else is going on. A woman lost her job. Lane Tadrock.
But just one.
Just one person lost their job.
The
economy's really turning around, and we wanted to report that no children of lesbians were abused and only one woman lost her job.
Excellent.
This woman, Lane Tadrock, a former administrator at Benedictine University in Springfield, Illinois, says that she was forced from her job at the Catholic institution after officials objected.
I was raised Catholic.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Bruce is Catholic?
No, my mom, Mary Elizabeth Donovan,
is that really her name?
Catholic. Yeah, Mary Elizabeth Donovan.
And Ivers.
And Ivers. Irish and Latvian get together and
it's
produce
like a
me.
Sitcom. It is. That's such a good sitcom. Well, Lane Tadrock says she was forced from her job at the Catholic institution after officials objected to the publication of her wedding announcement in a local newspaper.
Wow.
Tadrock married her partner, Kay Hellstrom, in Iowa in July and published the news in the State Journal Register, which also reported on the consequences for Tadrock, who was identified as a Benedictine employee in the wedding announcement. Hellstrom is an adjunct professor at the school, but was not identified as such in the announcement, although clearly she has been now, so I wonder if what's going on there. So our thoughts are with you, Lane and Kay. Lane and Kay. Any other happy... Did I have any other happy news?
Well, that wasn't happy, right?
No, that was not. Sorry.
They got married. That was happy.
That was really the point of the story.
Congratulations to them.
And if they were to have children, I feel fairly certain those children would not be abused.
They would not. 0%. Oh, look, that's another zero. We had a happy 0%
and another one.
Not so happy.
Yes.
We need to turn that around.
And I know this is my shout out to Kathy Renna, who is a communications guru, who was really touting the story on Facebook today. The fun thing about Facebook is that, sure, I can go and get my news from The Advocate and 365gay.net, and I certainly check out all those places. But then, because I'm friends, air quotes, with so many different gay people in the media, I can just look at my Facebook homepage. You don't know this because you're not a Facebooker.
I am not.
And just but see all these gay stories that I didn't even access before. So it's really fun.
That's excellent.
They're bringing the gay news to me. which I appreciate. Kind of a really quick, interesting story out of England. Tom Freeman and Catherine Doyle are in love and want to tie the knot, but they don't want to get married. The 26-year-old Londoners think they should be allowed to have a civil partnership, a form of legal union available in Britain, but only to same-sex couples. But the good thing is, gay rights activists are backing the couple's bid in an attempt to legalize gay marriage. Activist Peter Tatchell said, quote, denying heterosexual couples the right to have a civil partnership is heterophobic. Mm. So there you go. Mm-hmm. So equality for all.
Exactly.
Go team.
Yeah.
Go team.
We need t-shirts.
We do.
They probably exist already.
I'm sure.
Yep. I don't really want one, actually.
I'd wear it right now and get arrested. There are so many ways to get in touch with us here at This Show Is So Gay. As we've been saying, please, please send us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Every single email gets answered. Send it along and we will write something back. It might even have something to do with what you wrote to us.
Can they send a letter?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, actually, you can. You
yes!
can send a letter.
Someone send a letter.
That is such a, people do. We actually get postcards all the time.
Nice.
There is a lovely gentleman in Texas who sends us postcards all the time. And if you just go over, it's like a plug. If you go over to thisshowissogay.com, which is also the name of our show, This Show Is So Gay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to thisshowissogay.com and click on the Contact Us link, there is a snail mail address
here
in Brattleboro that you can send your fan mail or your criticism, which we get that too, to our address right there. So stroll on over to This Show Is So Gay. Please, please subscribe to our show on iTunes. It makes the downloading experience that much more mindless, because you don't have to think about it. It just downloads on your own. Just move past it. We're moving past it. Amazing shows coming up. We have an amazing, incredible show next week with Chuck Wolf from the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund.
Nice.
So good stuff coming up. As always, we love having you guys tune in. Please tune in every week because, you know, we like talking to you. And
sure do.
Hopefully you like listening to us. So, Tanya, an absolute pleasure having you
it's
on the
so
show.
It's so much fun. I
You'll
love being here.
You'll be coming back. Yes,
I will. You'll as long as I am asked and I am not ill.
Wow.
I'm going to keep taking my golden seal.
I can guarantee the first one. Not much I can do about the second one. All right, folks. Get out there. Go make a difference in
yes.
this great big world of ours. And above all else, remember, and I have to tell you, the song we're about to play was off of last night's Glee, which you don't, you're not a Glee watcher either.
No, but many of my students are.
It was a
so
very
I feel like I know it.
Big gay night on Glee last night, and this was one of the highlights. So get out there, make a difference in the world, use your voice, and above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
You think I'm pretty without any makeup on. You think I'm funny when I tell the punchline wrong. I know you get me, so I let my walls come down, down. Before you met me, I was alright, but things were kinda heavy. You brought me to life, now every February you'll be my Valentine. Valentine, let's go all the way tonight. No regrets, just love. We can dance until we die.